I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. It's made with only 6 simple ingredients. Plus, Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day hassle-free trial. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
You watch any of the practice football games, and based on the ratings, some of you did. The Cleveland Browns played a game with Philadelphia, and I believe the total was five. Was it 5-0, I think, was the final score of that? Yeah. At halftime of this game, if you watched it, it was 6-3. Well, we started out with a weather delay, which was, you know, that's why we have weather delays now? Lawyers. Litigation. Right? You used to just play in the rain. Now you got to have time out, you're lightning and all that, because you don't want to get sued up the wazoo and have to give away Lincoln Financial Field if you're the Philadelphia Eagles and the NFL and all that. So you got to wait the weather out. And I was watching some other stuff, compelling, boring baseball. And then I went back to the NFL. I was like, all right, I'll see what's going on here. And they had their pregame ceremony in Philly, which was like a religious revival with a bunch of adults screaming the Eagle fight song, very embarrassingly. They had that going on. And then the game finally gets started there. And, wow, everything I'd said about Nick Foles, spot on, completely right. Vindication on that. And the Atlanta Falcons, I made this list, my big board of teams in the NFC and the NFL and all that. And I did not have the Falcons on the list, and I was getting some blowback from some of the militia. The Maller militia were like, hey, stupid, what about the Atlanta Falcons? Well, yeah, what about the Atlanta Falcons? I mean, wow. Woo! Woo, 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 woo! Whoa! All right, so let's discuss here. Let's discuss the Philadelphia Eagles win after the Falcons had multiple chances. They had the ball in position in the territory of the Philadelphia Eagles there at the end. Goal line offense, execution, red zone offense. They couldn't do squat, and so they end up losing, and the Eagles win 18-12. And the stat that has gone around here is the stat of incompetence. The stat of failure would be the Atlanta Falcons offense around the goal line, right? Pressure situations trying to convert. And in the red zone, Matt Ryan has been not only a quarterback, but he has been below par. And you've got Julio Jones, who's putting up Hall of Fame numbers. But those two guys, when they get down in the red zone, the last 2 years, and the stats been going around here, including the plus, I was reading this earlier, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, when they've connected or tried to connect, 1 of 20. 1 of 20 is the connection rate in the red zone. Which I believe is 5%, if my Maller math is correct. I think that's pretty simple. I think we all know that that's 5%. All right, so what are the big takeaways? All right, let's discuss here. I assume you watched the game. You're listening to a sports talk radio show at a time you're not supposed to be listening to the radio. So, big takeaways. All right, I've got melting charlatans and unsustainable. All right, we'll mix all this together. Now, first of all, the melting part of it, that would be Matt Ryan, right? Nicknamed Matty Ice there, and the guy won the MVP a couple years ago and then had a Titanic-like drop last year. And in this game, Matt Ryan, he averaged less than 6 yards a pass play and had a quarterback rating of 57. And there were a couple of big pass plays to Julio Jones, and it was a lot of just dreck that the Falcons were serving up in nice canisters, and they were sealed. They were nice sealed canisters of dreck, but that's what they were serving up. Now, it is a pet peeve of mine, and I've already started to hear it. Some of the pundits have chimed in on this, and it's something that I will bring up right now, and I have a feeling I'll bring it up in every big game in the NFL, the regular season, that we talk about. Matt Ryan was bad. He was bad in this game. And we live in a world, we saw this in the NBA playoffs the last couple of years, you can't be bad. If you're thought of as being good, we can't think of you as bad. We have to come up with an excuse. There has to be some kind of alibi. There's got to be a fall guy, right? You got to have that scapegoat.
We sucked. And we sucked at a time that you can't suck.
That's right. And rather than just say that was a disgraceful exhibit of professional football by the Atlanta Falcons quarterback, instead it's, oh, he's hurt, right? You've got a bunch of defenders running and circling around Matt Ryan. Now, I'm going to assume the position he's not hurt because we live in a world now where we've got quarterbacks, if their toenail is a little off, they don't play. So I'm going to assume the position that he's not hurt. But I'm going to also put this out there. He played bad, right? Why can't we just say he had a terrible performance? Kill him on that. Why, instead of coming up with the excuses. I mean, it's this nonsense. I just can't stand it. You know, he played a poor football game. He did. You know, he broke into pieces at the end of the game. That when you're supposed to make a play at the end of the game and all this, you know, he's got the huge amount of money and he's earned it and all that. Matt Ryan, you know what he did at the end of the game? He imploded. That's what Matt Ryan did. Call it like it is. There's no need to say, well, he's hurt. You know, he's got a dead arm. Oh, it's his arm. Come on, shut up. All right? Stop. Just stop. It's like there's a cloak and dagger thing going on, and the Falcons are keeping it a secret because Matt Ryan's, you know, his arms are going to be amputated. Stop. It's ridiculous. All right, the second thing here, you have the charlatans, and that would be Dan Quinn and Doug Peterson. These guys both decided, and many coaches around the NFL, it wasn't just them, there's a consensus around the NFL to habitually not play anybody of substance in the preseason shenanigans, the exhibition games. And I've heard from coaches, they want their cake and they want to eat it too, right? They'll tell us, oh, we got to have exhibition games because we got to get guys ready for the season. But yet, this is several years in a row now, and I recall looking back, there's no antidote for it. There's no vaccine. The first week of the season is another extension. It's like an add-on to your house of the exhibition season. It's like, I need that extra back room. I need that bigger bathroom with a nice tub in it. And that's what ends up happening. So we end up watching and getting all excited for the start of the season. And this is not just going to be the Eagles-Falcons game. It's going to be all the games on Sunday, the Green Bay-Chicago game Sunday night, and then those two Monday night games also. I mean, neither one of these teams was well coached. Let's be honest here. This was second-rate trash disguised and packaged in NFL uniforms. We had a medley of incomplete passes and penalties. Now, I will concede that not all of those penalties had to be called, did they? I've never understood. Like, when I watch an NFL game, I'm thinking, boy, I really hope the officials are on this. I don't want the game to get out of hand. You know, I've never thought that way. But we had 26 penalties for 236 yards. The Atlanta Falcons had the most penalties they've had since, like, Methuselah. What are we looking at? 15 for 135 for the Atlanta. It was flag day. 15 penalties, 135 yards for the Falcons. And the Eagles, because they won the game, right, because they won the game, say, well, you know, hey, they won the game. Philly special. Shove the Philly special where the sun don't shine, okay? You know what a Philly special is? Let me tell you what a Philly special is. A cheesesteak and fries. That's what and maybe a drink, a soda. That's a Philly special. Philly. Well, it's going to be great when the Eagles implode later this year, too. And can we all look forward to that? Boy, that's good. We're going to have some fun with that. Yes? That'll be good. That we'll all have a good time with that. Now, the other point here, and this gets to a bigger issue, and we've discussed it. Nick Foles, whatever kind of deal he made with the devil, and I hope he got some good payout on that. He won the Super Bowl. He was the MVP. But what a disheveled, what a worthless football Barbie. Player Nick Foles was in this particular game and has been most of his career over the last several years in the regular season. I mean, it's just stunning how incompetent Nick Foles is. He had a quarterback rating of 50. His average yards per pass was less than 3.5. You know, they used to joke 3 yards in a cloud of dust with a running game. With Nick Foles, with the forward pass, it's 3 yards and a cloud of dust mixed in with an interception. And I know the Eagle sycophant, the Neanderthal Eagle fan will say, well, listen, Ben, the pass was actually tipped. That's true, but there were other passes that were bounced off Falcon defenders, their chests and bounced back. Their shoulder pads, that should have been interceptions earlier, so it does balance out. So anyway, listen, the Eagles, you look at this football team, and their defense is pretty good, sure, but that offense, what a debacle. And they're lucky. They're in a good spot here. They're in a pretty good spot because they have a very poor quarterback in Nick Foles who's going to be playing. And their next couple of games are against teams that are what you throw in your garbage disposal. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Indianapolis Colts are the next couple of games for the Philadelphia Eagles. So it's one of these things. It's, you know, smoke and mirrors. They're doing a tightrope walk. And can you get away with it with a defective quarterback like Nick Foles? Well, they got away with it in this game, and you're going to get more mistakes. You're going to get more 3-yard passes from him going forward. It's unsustainable is what it is. All right, let's hear from some of the participants in tonight's game. Now, we mentioned the story here, the red zone offense, and the Falcons in the exhibition season were running around, patting themselves on the chest, taking a bow because they had worked on their red zone offense. So, Dan Quinn, you're the head coach here. You got to be very happy with that red zone offense. Yes, really improved.
As you know, we've put a good bit of work in there, and we still have more to do. Does this game determine, like, 17's over, this is 18, and that's part of our game that we've got to get right if we're going to be really good, Led. Our ability to, you know, score down there, that has to change, and we weren't able to do that tonight.
Did he say Len? My name's Ben. I think he said Len. I'm not called Len. Man. Am I wrong, though? Didn't the Falcons, they just looked unorganized. They did. It was they were off. Both teams were off. All right, let's hear more from Coach Quinn, football
man. We
got
a very resilient group, all right? A really tough group of guys. So we've put a good bit of work in, and we'll continue to do that. I would expect this group, like I said in there, we'll get our ass off the mat and go back to work. We've got work to do. We'll go back in and clean those up tomorrow. But by no means is our psyche adjusted from one game.
How do we know they're tough? They played one game and they lost. Like, how do you know that? I mean, I've always thought of the Falcons as a pushover, and the crescendo was how they gagged and drowned against the Patriots in the Super Bowl a few years back. And I look at this team, the core players on this team were part of that team. Tough. I've never associated Falcon football with toughness. I have not. All right, let's hear from Matt Ryan. There's a lot of defenders of the quarterback there. It's not his fault. It's not his fault. No. He's got an injury. What about the red zone? Explain yourself. Defend yourself, Matt Ryan. You sucked. Defend yourself.
When we get those chances again, we're going to come up with those plays, but we're going to continue to work at it and practice it. I think we are closer. We're disappointed that we didn't make those plays tonight, but I'm confident that we're going to make them moving forward.
Didn't you say the same thing before this game? You lied. You're a liar. You said you were confident. You sucked. That was a gutless performance in the red zone. But wait, there's more.
I thought Julio did a great job for us tonight, creating a ton of opportunities. I mean, you know, we don't have a chance to have an opportunity at the end of the game if he doesn't make some spectacular plays for us down the stretch. So he's going to score plenty of touchdowns for us throughout the year. I'm a believer in that. And, you know, I think we're definitely close to coming out with those.
Yeah, don't wear yourself out trying to suck up to him. My goodness, jeez. I was exhausted just listening to that. All right. Now, Matt, I'm sure, this is the last one. I'm sure you are ready to concede now that the Falcons, you are on pace to match the Browns and the Lions to go 0-16. This is hell on earth, right? I am sure you are ready to concede that this team's not very good, yes?
I still am confident. Tonight, it didn't play out that way, you know, but we have put in a lot of really good work. We're going to make those plays as we move forward, for sure. We had some chances tonight. We just didn't connect on them. You know, that's one of the things we'll have the opportunity to take a look at what we did, you know, analyze what we did, and get back to the practice field and put some of that work back in.
Yeah, I'm sure you're great in the practice field. It's just the actual game that's the problem. No one pays to watch you practice, okay? That's the problem. And this Al Michaels and Collinsworth, these guys. Oh, look how tired they are. They're fatigued. It's the first game of the year.
You can really caca it up.
Yeah. All right, let's say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas Garcia. Right.
Boy,
over there.
Yeah.
Whew. Solid.
You're happy football's back. We're all happy football's back. But, boy, I think you said it right. That was a tough watch. I mean, from start to finish, weather delay, all the pomp and circumstance, like, let's just get to the game, please. And then when the game started, we're like, oh god, this game's terrible.
Yeah, I'm so happy though NBC kept Dungy on the payroll. He's so good. I mean, I'm so happy he's there. The wisdom that Dungy provides us, I can only get that on sportscliche.com. I'm so fortunate that he's still part of their broadcast. I know when to take a nap when he's talking. Brutal.
If it's not for a couple of late touchdowns in this game, I mean, this thing's really a stinker. You know, I mean, it got a little interesting at the end. I mean, you know, you had a play in the end zone to win the game. I'm just saying.
I'm giving it Maller report card F.
No,
I'm going to say D.
F.
Are all the games going to be like this weekend?
Yes, every game. Every game. Season, we're going to languish in mediocrity. But this usually – listen, be real here now. We've talked about this last couple of years. You look at the card of NFL games, if there's no teams on a bye week, they don't have the bye weeks for the first couple of weeks, so you got 16 games a week. And typically, there are maybe, of those 16, there are usually five of them that are pretty good, so about 25%. And if you're lucky, if everything goes right, two of them are really, really good. So that's like 12.5% or something like that. You like my Mahler math?
That's was good
that
math. Good?
I don't think I'm right on that. Percentage?
I'm not checking your work, so say whatever you want.
Well, no, I said five of...
Like I said, I'm not checking your work. When it comes to
well,
math,
that's like 30%.
Whatever.
All right, that's close. That's over 30%, but yeah. Well, it's Mahler math, which is kind of, it's close.
Yeah.
I told my teacher,
the vicinity play.
I told my teacher if I'm within 100 of any answer that I'm spot on.
I'm sure that went over well.
Yes. Look at me now. I'm the overnight talk show host.
That's right.
Yes. Absolutely. All right. We will press on here, and you want to try to get in here early because next hour, our friend the Penny for the full hour
oh,
will break
wow.
down every game, Eddie. Every effing game. That's how we do it. I was handicapping games. I was in my war room. Yep, right there in the Mahler Mansion, buried in stats. It was an endurance test, is what it was.
Josh Darnold, we'll see about that.
We'll break down Josh Darnold. That's right. That's absolutely correct.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Mahler Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Tiger baseball, that used to mean something. The Detroit Tigers have had some good teams at times over the years, but lately not so much. Been mostly irrelevant. No reason to talk about them. In fact, this year, as we wind down the baseball season, there's about 3 weeks to go in the baseball regular season. If you look at it, the Tigers, there are five teams in baseball, only five, that have a worse record than the Detroit Tigers. But if the Tigers have another bad week and the White Sox and Marlins play better, then and even the Padres have a chance, it's possible the Tigers can finish with the third worst record. There's a lot of jockeying going on. The Orioles and Royals are the two worst teams, but then you've got a group of Padres, Marlins, White Sox, Tigers, and Reds. We're all kind of bunched together there. But this is not about baseball. This is not about random players on the Detroit Tigers because most people couldn't even name one guy on the Detroit Tigers. Maybe you're a big Nick Castellanos guy, whatever his name is. I don't even pronounce his name. I don't even know how to pronounce the guy's name. But anyway, here's the point. All right, this is a wonderful story. Right? Finally, the good people of the state of Michigan, this is something that they can smile about. We can talk about here. Wonderful. Respected, professional, classy broadcasters who chronicle Tiger baseball, and they went off the rails. Oh, man, if you've not been listening here and you've missed this, the scandalous reports, which have pretty much been confirmed out of the Motor City, indicating that the Detroit Tigers TV broadcast crew of Mario Impemba and Rod Allen got into a tussle during a game this week. It happened on Tuesday in Chicago. Impemba, he's been the Tigers play-by-play guy for the last 16 years. And Allen, he spent 5 years in the major leagues as a player, although he was, I think he had 11 hits in parts of 5 years. But he's been the Tigers color analyst for 15 seasons. So he's been around the Tigers for a long time. So both these guys have been doing games in Detroit for a while. And they went off the air together. They were taken off the air, right? They said, get out of here. You're off the air. Wednesday's game, they weren't there. That was odd. Now, we don't know all the details. However, we are told that Impemba left the broadcast booth at some point in the game. We think it was in the fifth inning or the top of the sixth inning, before the top of the sixth inning, after the fifth inning. And so the way the story is being passed down, the play-by-play guy Impemba goes out of the broadcast booth, and Rod Allen, the other guy, follows him, and then there was some kind of assault that took place in the press box in Chicago, and Allen is accused of coming up behind Impemba and choking him. Some kind of choke technique was used, and other people had to step in. A third party had to break up the altercation, and the reports indicate the disagreement was over a chair. That they were fighting over a chair. So I want to talk about this now. I hope, I don't know if this happened or not, but it would be great if the Benny Hill music played in the background when that happened, you know, that clown music. And I wish we had video. Wouldn't this be wonderful? this would be the most popular thing in baseball all year. Video of broadcasters, one broadcaster choking the other broadcaster. That's great. All right, so the question, what happens? What is going to happen now? You've got the Tiger broadcasters who were put on timeout, but what happens going forward? So I've got some observations here. You've got marketing gold, the intervention, and the cease and desist. All right, those three things. Again, marketing gold, intervention, and cease and desist. We'll fasten these together. Now, we'll begin with the fact that the Tiger brass, here's my advice. My theory on this is you should laugh at it. Now, you don't have to be a hard ass. You can laugh at this. There's no need to take everything in life so seriously. In fact, I would embrace this notoriety from the Tiger broadcasters here. It can be a positive. This, if done properly by the Tiger PR department, can be marketing gold. And here's what I envision. During the offseason, barnstorming tour all over Michigan, have Mpemba and Allen in some sumo outfits and wrestling each other when they go around to the different stops. You can put Rod Allen in a dunk tank, right? Tell me you wouldn't want to see that. That'd be great. Celebrity boxing. And next September, when this date comes up, and it happened on Tuesday, random Tiger-White Sox game. So when that date pops up, you know what you do? You have a commemorative bobblehead of Rod Allen attempting to choke Mario Mpemba. You give that out to the first 10,000 fans who enter the ballpark in Detroit, and you have a chair in the bobblehead. So here's how I envision the bobblehead. You have one side, you have Mpemba, who's walking away from Rod Allen, who's behind him, and he's got his hands around the neck of Mario Mpemba, the play-by-play guy for the Tigers, and then there's a chair, like a nice chair right in front of him. I think that's the way you should do it, and why not? Those would be very popular. I'd buy one. I'd go on eBay and see if I can get one. Now, in addition to that, the smart money says that the Tigers, instead of doing that, doing the right thing and treating this as marketing gold, that they are going to instead treat this like a crime against humanity. And that, you know, deliberately committed by someone trying to embarrass the franchise and all that stuff. Now, we are going to find out how much juice this Rod Allen has with the franchise. To do something like this and to keep your job, you really have to be sucking up in certain locations there. Right? You got to be a total toady for the front office to keep your job in something like this. We'll find out how popular Rod Allen, the play-by-play guy, is. And if he is popular, if the Tiger brass, somebody in management, senior management, likes him, which could be the case, then what happens? Then you get an intervention. They're like, okay, we'll get these guys in a room. We'll have their differences. We'll air them out. It's like couples therapy. They'll do like couples therapy for these knuckleheads. And, you know, it's three sides, right? There's three sides to the story. There's the Mpemba side of the story. There's the Rod Allen side of the story. And then there's what actually happened. But to think that Allen would give up a plum job like this, a brass ring, Tiger base, how many people were even watching this game? Seven? And you're going to throw that away because of a chair? What kind of chair are we talking about? This must have had a wonderful lumbar support or something, magical powers. Now, I used to have a Lazy Boy chair, which was pretty good. It's a brand. I've had some other good chairs over the years. But I've never gotten into a fight over a chair. I've not. And I'm also skeptical of how much of this is being embellished. Right? How much of this has been embellished? I would never fight. I'm not going to fight over a pen. I would not fight. I would not go down over a pen. That's not going to happen. But to think that Alan, like, there's... Did he grab the neck? Was it an attempted choke? Was it the full choke hold? The other thing I wonder is if this did actually happen the way it's being described in vague detail, why were there not assault charges? If Mpemba really hates Rod Allen, and the reports out of Detroit say they don't like each other, they haven't liked each other for years, and there's got to be more to it. We know this was a simmering situation, and it's been going on, and it finally boiled over. There had to be something else. There had to be something like Mpemba said something sarcastically to Rod Allen about his broadcasting or goofed on him. There had to be more to it. it wasn't just about a chair. The chair was the final element, the final straw that broke the camel's back, if you will. Now, last observation. In my local radio days years ago, I actually have a past with Mario and Pemba. Before Mario and Pemba became the voice of Tiger Baseball on television, he was an Angels radio broadcaster. For only a, as I remember, it was only a few years. I mean, I don't recall exactly how long, but 1 year he was an Angel broadcaster during spring training. I was alerted. I was not listening to this game, but I was alerted that there was a technical snafu during an Angel preseason game, and Mario Impemba thought his mic was off. He thought his mic was off. It was the open to the Angels broadcast, and they did this opening billboard with this like old baseball, like Angels theme song type thing. And so Impemba's trying to talk, but his mic is not on. And at some point, midway through the opening billboard, his mic pops open. He's like, kind of sounds like he's in the Grand Canyon or something like that. Anyway, as I recall the story, and I remember most of the details, but as I recall the story, Impemba, near the end of it, he threw the headset thing that he was wearing down, and I guess he thought he was in commercial. His blood was boiling, and he shouted what a cluster F that was, and it was broadcast very clear on the radio. And so a friend of mine...
Oh, no!
We'll just call him an associate who I might or might not still know, who happened to have someone at that radio station, not the station I worked for, got me a copy of the audio. So I was doing a midday show at a different station. So how do you think I handled that? I was given a copy because, you know, people on radio, when people screw up, blooper tapes, everyone passes them around. Did you hear this? Oh, my God, you got to hear this. So I got a double secret copy of this blooper. So to pay homage to Mario Impemba, on my show, I played it. We played it over and over and over and over. It was hilarious, right? It was wonderful. And now how do you think Mario Impemba took that news that we were playing the soundbite of him saying cluster F on the air? The then Angel broadcaster had some lawyers from the baseball team in Anaheim send me a very nice cease and desist letter. So that was the end of that audio. We never played it again. Never played it again. But as far as these guys fight, like we talked about, I think we talked about this the other day. People that work in this industry, just because you're paired with someone does not mean you're going to like working with them. It happens all the time. And duos, especially, I know radio because I work in radio and you do shows with people and you get paired with someone and it is not always a pleasant situation. I've had instances in the past where I worked with different people and no names, of course, because I'm very protective of that. But I worked with someone one time. This actually happened multiple times. And it was me and then I had someone kind of supporting me as a sidekick type person. And if I said something to offend one of their teams, they would stop talking. And I remember one time I did a show, and the first hour I said something that this particular person deemed inappropriate about something they cared about. And so for the next 3 hours, nothing. It was unreal. But anyway, we'll see what happens next if these guys are back. And really the real test is after the season. It is the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas Garcia. It's right over there.
You know, I do think I may have heard that story now. I didn't think I had, but I do remember you playing some sort of a soundbite of somebody. Was there another time where you did something like this, where you played a blooper of somebody on another show?
Yeah, I have a history of doing this kind of thing, so I've done it multiple times. But I don't think I've played that soundbite. I'm not allowed to play that. Well, I probably am allowed to play it now. That's 20 years ago. I could probably play it now, right?
The statute of limitations, yeah. I'm sure, has. I mean, you still have it?
Let's not risk it.
Well, I have it, but it's on a cartridge. We had used to have old technology in radio, these cart machines. We don't have that.
No, we don't. I was looking around here.
Yeah, because I figured
got a DigiCart machine in here.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. Okay. Yeah, like I have a lot of stuff that we could, if I could find a way to transfer it, like I saved some stuff, but it's old technology. Yeah, the Angel Brass, they've changed over like 8,000 times over the years, so they probably have no idea. They don't even remember that Mario Mpemba was a broadcaster for them. So, but anyway, well, good luck to these guys. I hope they long, glorious careers here. They work it all out. But I recommend having some fun with it. Do the old celebrity boxing thing. Have a good time. All right, so the Ben Maller Show on Fox. On Fox, we'll take your phone calls as we did have the NFL season begin. And I would like to point out right now that that Maller monologue breaking down, doing fight analysis of Detroit Tiger broadcasters Mario Mpemba and Rod Allen was more compelling than the Thursday night NFL game between the Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles, which did go to the way of the Philadelphia Eagles, but certainly makes teams like the Saints, Rams, and Vikings feel pretty good about themselves because that Eagle team, they are definitely lacking on offense. They have no margin for error. Certainly with Nick Foles and this assumption that Carson Wentz is going to come back and drop out of the heavens and be manna from heaven and just be marvelous. And yeah, okay. We'll see it when it happens. I'm skeptical.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Lame week.
Lame week who? It's Big Ben's lame joke of the week.
Jokes, jokes, jokes. These are actual jokes by actual listeners like yourself. You see how that works? All right, very good. Welcome in our leadoff hitter. First of all, from parts unknown, at least in Southern California. We say hello to Sirius Sean. Hello, Sirius Sean.
Yeehaw. How do you do, everybody?
You're still into the Westerns. You haven't given that up yet.
Yeah, and I'm going to be auditioning for that radio show in a couple weeks.
Well, if you need any advice, we are more than happy to help you. But not right now. Do you have a joke for us?
Oh, yes, I do. Hey, where the hell is Weed Man?
You're just like Blair. You're such a diva.
Who?
I don't know. Is Weed Man there? I don't know. He's not talking, so I can't hear him. So I don't know. I guess he's not there. Are you there, Weed Man?
Podcast.
What? Yeah. Hello? Just do the damn joke.
Okay. Well, here we go. Yeah. What do you call a cowboy who helps out at school?
What do you call a cowboy that helps out at school? I don't know.
The deputy head.
What?
The deputy head.
That wasn't funny. Oh. All right. Thank you. All right. Are you there, Weed Man? Oh, there he is. You like that?
I love that joke.
It was terrible.
All right, whatever. It made me laugh.
All right.
I'm having a tough life, Ben.
No, you're not. You're fine.
Ben, I got a vent. Let me.
All right, here we go. How does Rib Man treat a mosquito bite, Eddie?
I don't know. We met Rib Man. How does he treat a mosquito bite?
With a slow rub. From Just Josh, who sent that one in. Well, Gilligan Island actress who played Mary Ann is seeking $180,000 from fans in a GoFundMe campaign to pay off financial debt. Did you hear about this?
No, I did not. I didn't even know she was still alive.
Yeah, she's the Weed Man hippie of Hollywood.
It's great getting porn, I'm telling you.
All right. What do you call a man with a rubber toe?
I don't know, Ben. What do you call a man with a rubber toe?
Rubber toe.
No.
That was funny.
Brad in Minnesota sent that one in. Thank you for that, Brad. All right. Very nice here. This is from Kurt from Earth. He says, what did Sammy Sosa do after Labor Day?
I don't know, Ben. What did Sammy Sosa do after Labor Day?
Continued to wear white. Yes, that's Kurt from Earth.
I knew that was coming.
It's kind of worth it. Why did Eddie Garcia's career in baseball and advertising fail?
I don't know, Ben. Why did my career in baseball and advertising fail?
Because he kept throwing bad pitches. That's why. See that? George in Rochester, Minnesota.
Didn't know you had a career there, Eddie.
Neither did I.
Wow. Well, you've pitched in multiple minor league stadiums over the years. Thanks to our show here. Power of minor league baseball. We love it. I hear rumors we might be expanding to some other sports. I can't say anything on the air.
Whoa,
so it's
cool.
A done deal, but there's some things going on, I'm told, behind the scenes.
Nice.
We'll see what that's all about. Coop, you got anything for us, Coopaloop?
Yeah, sure. Did you hear about the new Burt Reynolds movie?
Oh,
come on.
It's called The Longest Graveyard. That's from Kurt. It's from Kurt from Earth.
Did you hear that Michael Vick?
Boy.
Michael Vick declined to comment on the controversy of players kneeling during the national anthem.
No, I did not hear that.
He says he's not taking sides as he does not have a dog in the fight, Eddie. That's what he said.
So mm-hmm.
It's from that was the punchline. Surfer Todd, the committee.
I know.
Now, Surfer Todd, you don't like him, but I like him. He's going to be on NBC in L.A. here in October doing television, comedian on television.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. You don't sound impressed.
No, I'm impressed.
All right. Tiger broadcaster Rod Allen and Mario Impembo were involved in a physical altercation this week.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Turns out they were both actually running out the door. They ran into each other. That's what happened, Eddie. Wow. A tough crowd. Did you hear that Weed Man went on a shopping spree last weekend?
No, I didn't think he had any money for that.
Yeah. Well, he called it shopping. The police called it looting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what they... All right. It's from Just
it's
Josh.
It's great getting porn, I'm telling you.
All right. Why do pot smokers always carry $80?
I don't know, Ben. Why do pot smokers always carry $80?
Because it's 420s, Eddie. That's what it is. That's George in Minnesota. Last one. What's the difference between Blind Scott and the Redcoats?
I don't know. What's the difference between Blind Scott and the Redcoats?
At least the Redcoats showed up. That's from Gordon in Tacoma. Yeah, Blind Scott. He was a no-show. That is correct.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. It's made with only 6 simple ingredients. Plus, Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day hassle-free trial. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.